the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 181 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Sheck. S-H-E-K. It's coming, everybody. It's coming in a matter of days now. Matter of fact, I wonder if we could even do it by the hour, how far away we are. I'm bad at math, so you can let me know via the Twitter. Hit me up at Dameshek and let me know. We have coming up momentarily for you Ike Taylor, the shutdown corner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, going into his umpteenth season in the black and gold. A great voice, one of the icons, one of this generation's icons for Steelers fans to root for. We'll talk to him about all things Steelers, specifically big year for that team when it comes to the rookies, a team that doesn't typically throw rookies in there. Obviously, they're going to lean pretty heavily on not just rookies, but other young guys along the offensive line and so on. So let's kibitz about that right now before we get Ike on the line here. And by the way, I apologize for my voice. It's poor. It came out publicly from here in Studio 66 last Friday when I joined the Around the League podcast. Make sure you check out that fine podcast. 3 days a week now, Rosenthal and his minions, a.k.a. Mr. Fancy Pants Mark Sessler, who you know from this podcast, Dan Hanzus from this podcast, and our newest newcomer, Chris Wessling. And wouldn't you know it, those three guys I just mentioned are sitting in 66 with me right now. What's the poop, fellas?
How you doing?
Hey, Dave.
Well, as I say, my voice is bad right now, but otherwise I feel okay. I should let you know, too, I'm departing for New York City. I'm going to be out there all this week with Misters Fabiano, Rank, Baja Biamilla, and Smith, Money Smith, that is, for Fantasy Week. Make sure you look at NFL.com all week long. We'll be kibitzing about fantasy football with Hall of Famers. I'm not sure which ones, but they're big names because they're in the Hall of Fame. So I think that means that they're big name people. But because of that, I'll try to wrangle a couple of them and do a second podcast this week. I'm not sure, though, what the schedule's going to be like. We're going to be running around Times Square quite a bit, so we'll see if we get you a second podcast this week. This one may have to do, though. Like I said already, though, just listen to the Around the League podcast in our stead. Also, make sure you go to NFL.com/Sheck and look for the link to NFL Preseason Live. All the preseason games there for you as they wind down here. I know there are only a couple weeks left, but $19.99, all the games. And if you like them boiled down for you into 30-minute consumable bites, that's how you can do it, too. Get ready for fantasy. Watch your position battles as they clarify more and more. All right, fellas, let's kibitz about the AFC North. That's what we talked about on your podcast last week, and you can go back and listen to that. Everybody on there makes picks. And let's get to the heart of the matter there. It was, out of the five of us, three picked the Steelers to win the division. The other two, myself included, obviously, if you've listened before, you know I'm high on the Bengals this year. So I think the Bengals are not just going to win the division. I think they're maybe the best team in the AFC, with the possible exception of the Houston Texans. And so let's debate that right now, and specifically how you can possibly predict the Steelers to win the division. And I'm going to start with you, Chris Wessling.
Well, point to the quarterback first. They, in my opinion, have easily the best quarterback in the division.
Easily?
And easily.
Way back, because I think there are a lot of people outside of Baltimore even that now consider Joe Flacco. I think that's a little bit
I am high on Flacco also, but I think Big Ben still unappreciated around the league and among fans. He's a legit top four or five NFL quarterback, and you could make the argument there might not be anybody better with the game on the line.
Sessler, how say you?
One thing about the Steelers, as a longtime Cleveland fan, whenever they have a season like last year where they tumble down a few games and everyone starts preaching about the downfall of this proud organization, they're going to go back down into a real dip. They come right back the next year with a 12-4 type campaign where they thump everyone in the division and roll into the playoffs. I just don't see the Steelers doing what they did last year again. And that is that I have to agree with Wessling. Roethlisberger was arguably an MVP through half of last year. We wrote articles about that. He was guiding that offense. He did a fantastic job. I think that the offensive line is improved, and the running game is going to be a little bit more interesting this season. Bottom line, though, from an organizational standpoint, Steelers never flop twice. They're going to come back and win the division.
I have a hard time leaning on that. When people do that, that's like the kind of rhetoric my old man spews.
The
same old Penguins. You know, like when you're watching a game, like what? Same old Penguins. What? I mean, Sidney Crosby wasn't alive when you were to the teams that you're referring to. I don't think there's a connection. And yet, you're right that if you look historically, I mean, forget the 70s. I'm talking the last 10 years. You're right. They rarely drop 2 years in a row and look lousy. And Trent Dilfer talked to him in Lake Tahoe a few weeks back, and he predicted, and he certainly seems to understand the trends as much as anybody from an offensive strategy standpoint, he seems to think that there's a chance that there are certain teams that are going to try and take advantage of the more open style by doing old school football, pounding the ball, pounding it. Dude, you seen this Le'Veon Bell dude? That dude runs hard. That's how Pittsburgh may sound by the end of September. Dude, that dude's a hammer. He reminds me of Franco, dude. Frankie Pollard. You remember Jerome Bettis? The bus, dude. This dude's the best. He's the best I've seen since Franco. Anyhow, I think they can make some hay. But Le'Veon Bell, whether or not he'll emerge, I mean, clearly that's who they want to be doing it. They're very limited in the pass catching area. I mean, Heath Miller is not going to be out there in all likelihood in week one. They have no tight end. Most teams have two capable tight ends, which brings me to the Cincinnati Bengals, who I think are going to haunt, or Tyler Eifert at least is going to haunt the Steelers in the first round. I like Jarvis Jones and what I saw of him in the SEC. He was doing it in the highest level of college football against the best competition and all that. But while there's a need at outside linebacker with James Harrison going to Cincinnati, the bigger need is that big target for Roethlisberger. He always covets it. Every quarterback covets it. But Roethlisberger, over the course of his career, a couple of times, has been on record, and it's caused controversy in the Steelers locker room and with Kevin Colbert and the management. I need a wide receiver who I can – a big guy. I don't want all the – I mean, he voices that and gets some pushback from management on voicing those opinions. I think Tyler Eifert should have been the pick there. I think they're really going to struggle in the passing game. I don't know how effective you can be in the passing game in the running game to offset having a mediocre or subpar passing. I agree with Wes, as good as Roethlisberger is, who's he throwing the ball to? Is this why you feel the Bengals are the class of the division, Hanzus?
I just think top to bottom the Bengals are the strongest team. They don't really have a lot of areas of fault. And we talked about it on Friday when you were on the podcast, the idea that, what is Dalton? And I think Dalton, to me, is a guy that is not a great quarterback, but he's not a poor quarterback. And I don't see any type of Mark Sanchez-style regression. I think what you're seeing now, even the aspects of the game that you don't like, he's not going to go below that to me. So I think as long as they stay healthy, he's going to be a guy that's going to make them help keep them a double-digit win team for multiple years.
Let me just ask you a question. How often does the third best quarterback in the division win the division title?
I don't know. I mean,
that's a good question.
That sounds like a good question, but if we sat down and did the work on it, I'd be interested in seeing those results. I mean, listen, 2 years ago when the Giants win the Super Bowl, would everybody universally have agreed going into the playoffs? Would everybody have said Eli is the best QB in that division, better than Vic, who's coming, at that point had the outlandish season coming back?
When he had already won a Super Bowl, Eli?
Yeah, but he takes out. But Vic in Philly that season, remember, had the gangbusters insane season. Statistically, you had Romo, and I don't know that people. I don't think universally everybody would have.
I would have taken Romo over Eli that year.
That's fair, but I think the difference between Big Ben and Dalton is different than what the Romo Manning brother split was there.
That's an interesting point, but I will also say that in our brains, I think people who try and conjure opinion in prognostication, we obviously look for these trends, that, but they're not easy to just jam everything in. Well, this is the trend. This is the way everything is, and ergo, this must be true here. I think in the 21st century, there is a chance for a guy to grow into being an NFL quarterback. He doesn't have a great arm necessarily, but he's very sort of Ken Anderson-y, and I sort of.
You can't use Andy Dalton and Ken Anderson sentence like that.
But I just did. But wow. That's what I just did.
Wow, Ken Anderson, arguably the most accurate quarterback in NFL history.
Well, listen, this is his third season. If this were 1997, our conversation would be, well, this is his third year as the starting quarterback. I think he'll progress now. There would be no expectation that he should be as good as he's going to be by the end of his sophomore season, just because that is the trend. I don't think that necessarily is the case. Look at what Alex Smith has done. We'll see how he does in Kansas City, but obviously it took him longer to get it than it did other guys.
I think that's a much better comparison, Alex Smith.
That's fine. But Alex Smith would have been in a Super Bowl if not for Kyle Williams' knee 2 years ago, maybe would have been in it last year again.
And we should have a much better idea with Dalton this year, now with the third year. And you're absolutely right, Chuck, about Eifert. I think he would have been a great fit in Pittsburgh. And I love what he can bring potentially to that Cincinnati offense where they're going to move him around a lot. He's also one of those guys that just looks good. Like, we're watching him on the Hard Knocks series right now. And he's just a very impressive-looking guy, athletic.
I was with Dan, and he was very impressed with Eifert's.
almost uncomfortably
impressed.
It was
a little strange.
Sinewy muscle.
I will.
He didn't have an ounce of fat. He was clean like a dolphin. Like smooth.
Were you listening while we were in the room?
I will concede this. If we take a scalpel to this division, just do cold analytics, the Bengals have the best defense in the division.
Yes.
They have the best offensive talent in the division.
Yeah.
I'm not picking them. I don't trust their organization. I don't trust their head coach, and I don't trust their quarterback, and those are three very important things.
Well, right. I always have sort of pointed at that Marv thing, that he never repeated a playoff appearance. You know, there was never 2 years in a row where they did it. Well, now that's off of them now. I think this is sort of a team that's positioned to now take the next step in an AFC that I'm not overwhelmed by the teams out there that are going to go really deep.
And we should note that Wes, as a child, was a Bengals fan and came to a point in his life where he let that ship just float out into the water.
That's right.
You had enough with them.
You'll never hear more cynicism out of even the fans of good teams. You'll never hear. The real fans really are the ones who are the most glass half empty about their
right.
team's potential.
Paul Brown Stadium was the crash site of unrequited love.
That's when I moved to L.A. That's what cool people call it. Los Angeles is the city's name, but did you know that people abbreviate it to L.A.? And some call it La La Land. Anyway, all right, listen. Let's go. He's on the line. Let's get him on the line right now. Here he is, everybody, from your Pittsburgh Steelers. Long time shutdown corner. He has a couple of Super Bowl rings on those fingers. It's Ike Taylor. What's the poop, fella?
I'm good, Dave. How you doing?
Well, listen, I'm fine, and I'm happy to be speaking with you. But here we sit between an 8-8 2012 season. A lot of questions. I feel like the Steelers are one of those teams, as we get ready for September here, that there's a big range of opinion out there from the experts. Some people say, they'll get back to their winning ways. A lot of other people say tough division. How say you, Ike Taylor?
I say we'll get back to it. You know, 8-8 is not what we want around here, meaning in Pittsburgh, as a city and as a team. But it's something we could control. It's something we didn't do well in. But, hey, it's 2013, another year, another season.
And are you now feeling pressure to have a winning record now? Because the big story in Pittsburgh, PA, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Nah, no pressure at all. actually, I'm happy for the Pittsburgh Pirates. You know, I think it's good for the city when the hockey, baseball, and the football team is doing fine. Everybody is in good spirits. Small businesses, big businesses, whether you're a baseball or a football fan, just being a professional athlete, I like it and enjoy it when all three sports can come together and produce wins.
Yeah, but isn't it like, I mean, there's a real chance now if you did a popularity ranking in the city of Pittsburgh, it might go something like Sidney Crosby, Andrew McCutcheon, and then Big Ben Roethlisberger. Is that getting some buzz in the Steelers locker room?
No, not at all. Like I say, between a professional athlete, we support any group of sports when it comes down to the city of Pittsburgh. So, I mean, we got 6 Super Bowl rings, to be honest with you. I won 2. Ben won 2. We've been to 3. Unfortunately, we lost one of them out of the 3, but that's just the way it goes. So from a professional athlete to another professional athlete, it's no love lost. No love lost. We all love each other when it comes down to supporting the city.
That's right. If you guys get back on track this year in 2013, plus the Pirates doing what they're doing, it's going to be heady days on the banks of the Three Rivers, and everybody will be a winner for that. A guy who departed the banks of the Three Rivers and moved west, you may have heard, James Harrison. You been watching him on Hard Knocks at all?
No, I haven't. I've been hearing, but I haven't been watching James Harrison, a.k.a. Debo. A.K.A. Silverback, as we call him. He's a different breed. He's a different kind of guy. So I'm sure he's very entertaining on TV.
Yes, he is. That's been my finding, Ike. I've enjoyed him so far on there. But how weird is it going to be twice this year lining up against him? What sort of conversations will you have? Will you talk to him before the game? Will you be talking to him? I guess not out on the field, but is he the sort of guy who will be yapping and not have any sort of sentimentality going up against you guys? Do you expect him to be extra up to go up against you guys this year?
I get a chance to watch him play. So, of course, I'm going to be talking to him. So, I'm going to talk smack to him while I'm on the field, while I'm off the field. It's all nothing but respect for James Harrison, a.k.a. Debo.
Well, now the guy who the Steelers go out and get in this past spring to replace James Harrison, presumably, of course, we'll see how things figure out with Jason Worlds over the next couple weeks here. But how's Jarvis Jones looking to you now? Not necessarily for the short term, but do you think that the Steelers have hit on that first-round pick this year?
He's a turnover machine, a mature rookie, has a knack for being around the football from practice all the way to the field. I think Jarvis is gonna create and cause a lot of havoc in the NFL, and for our team, it's gonna be fun. I can't wait to watch him play. I've been seeing in production him getting better every practice, so it's gonna be fun watching Jarvis play.
And you were cool with the way I don't know that that Tomlin and company and Colbert, everybody got asked Ike what they thought about it afterwards. But are you cool with what they did in the offseason in terms of bringing in replacements for Mike Wallace? Do you think Marcus Wheaton, for instance, looks like a guy who's going to step in and not necessarily reproduce the level of production? But do you think that there are enough weapons now in the Steelers passing game to be successful this year?
Well, it's only one Mike Wallace, and that's in the whole NFL. That's only one Mike Wallace. Unfortunately, as far as like business-wise, you got to do what you got to do on both sides, on his side and our side. So from that perspective, that's when Coach T, gets paid him and GM, as far as like him and Kevin Colbert during the offseason. And they've been doing a hell of a job in the offseason. Wheaton is a rookie. And I see from day in and day out, he's not playing like a rookie. He doesn't look like a rookie. He doesn't act like a rookie. He's going to be one of my sleepers, I say, for this year, 2013. Not for the team, but for the NFL.
Ooh, bold prediction from Ike there. Who's the toughest guy when you're going up against him in training camp now? Who is it? Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, Marcus Wheaton, Jericho Cotri? Who gives you the most trouble?
All four of them guys bring something different to the table as far as, like, stature and ability. Antonio Brown is, for a corner like me, to get a guy who runs routes, who can get in and out of routes as smooth and as quick as Antonio Brown. It's a great challenge for me day in and day out. So I'm lucky. Emmanuel Sanders, very elusive, a different style of running, short guy with a long stride, I'll go against him also. Wheaton, very deceptive speed. Coming from a rookie, you wouldn't understand he's a rookie, but he did play all 4 years at Oregon State, so he's very polished. As a young man and as a receiver. So, you know, Jericho Cotter, you know, he's Mr. Savvy, Mr. Smooth. Yeah, you can talk about his speed, but for some reason he's always getting open to catching balls. So all four of them guys bring something different, so it's definitely a good mix for me.
All right, listen, Ike, I like no jive talk here on this show, and so don't jive me on this one. Antonio Brown, I like very much. Obviously, he's been productive since he got to Pittsburgh. You're a guy out there. You're locking up against every other team's number one for the most part, week in and week out. Are the Steelers in good position when you look around the league? Most teams have that guy who's this number one, the first-round draft pick. He's electric. He's, Brandon Marshall, Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green, and so on. Is Antonio Brown a legit number one for the Steelers?
Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
Man, Antonio Brown, hell yeah, he's a number one guy. Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown gives everybody problems for, like, a DB to a safety. 101, I like Antonio Brown over anybody.
Over anybody? What do you mean over anybody? Over A.J. Green?
101, I like Antonio Brown over anybody.
All right, don't yell at me, Ike. All right, we're just having a discourse here. We're going back and forth. Hey, what do you think happens with Riley Cooper this year somewhere? I feel like the league, because obviously the Steelers, not you so much, but some of the guys that play out there with you, seem to get the attention of the league office with some of the hits. What do you think is going to happen when a guy hits Riley Cooper in a game for the first time? Do you think the league's going to be like, well, listen, we're not going to touch that, even if it is helmet to helmet? I feel like this is going to be a story at some point during the season that people, you know, that the league is going to not necessarily want to attach itself to fining a guy who just took a big lick on Riley Cooper.
I'm over here in Western PA. They over there in Eastern PA. I'm going to leave it like that.
Enough said. Well done, Ike. That was very political on your part. Man, you guys, I really enjoy talking with you. I've now talked to Troy Polamalu. I've talked to Ryan Clark, who is just an absolute delight. And you have proven to be the same. However, your name is Ike. I think it's a terrific name. It's about as good a name as a fella can have. But if you ever met a woman named Tina who is beautiful and she has everything going for her, and you're just saying, like, you and I can't be together because of the name connection.
I know a few Tinas, but I never met the Tina Turner. Mm-hmm. Great. But I'm Ike. I know Tina, but not Turner. So there you go.
So you can talk to Tinas and maybe be like, yeah, maybe a date or something like that. That would be cool.
You know, every time I meet a Tina, man, it's somebody always say something about Ike and Tina Turner. But my last name is Taylor. Their last name is Turner. They're one of the greatest to ever do what they did. Hopefully I'll go down as one of the greatest for ever doing what I'm doing.
Well, that's true. You're one of the icons of this era for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Absolutely true. I've been watching you for many moons now. What is, would you say, Ike, since you've been there, what is the best win that you've experienced with Pittsburgh?
Super Bowls never get old. Super Bowls you never get used to. It's a feeling you would never get used to. You always want to go back. You always want to be greedy. You always want to get back to that point. Just sharing that with your friends and family, emotions, the trips, the activities during Super Bowl week, the excitement, the anticipation going up towards the game, even the Super Bowl commercials, how much people spend for Super Bowl commercials. It's exciting. So Super Bowls is something you can never get used to.
Well, man, I just think, you know, if Roethlisberger would have thrown one touchdown pass at the end, you guys would be, imagine 6 points away from number three there. That one still smarts for me. But By the way, I think the correct answer is when you beat the Ravens for the third straight time. 3 for 3 against the Ravens in Heinz Field when Polamalu finishes them off with the pick six there. That, to me, is the answer, Ike. But listen, you know better than I do. You were out there. What's the worst loss you've ever had?
There's no such thing as the worst loss. A loss is a loss. But on the flip side, losing the Super Bowl in Green Bay, in Dallas to Green Bay, had to be the worst loss of my career.
And is it because Aaron Rodgers, I've talked to Ryan Clark, like I say, about this specifically. Aaron Rodgers is a different sort of character than you'll ever see. All the talk about Brady and Manning and everything else. Aaron Rodgers, is that the best you've seen?
Aaron Rodgers was on fire. Aaron Rodgers was pinpoint accurate. Far as like a defender, we was in position and was on point a lot of times throughout the game, and Aaron Rodgers still found a way to seam the ball in there. After that game, I had respect for Aaron Rodgers, but it took my respect level to a whole different level just playing against him.
I hear you, man. That's exactly what basically Ryan Clark said. He just put the ball on you, and even though you were in position, he still somehow snuck it through there. All right, listen, Ike Taylor, what a pleasure. Please come out to L.A. after the season. We'll celebrate a victorious 2013 season for you Steelers. Ryan Clark joined me in my sports car. We drove around L.A. for about 45 minutes. You should do the same with me.
Hey, when I get out there, Dave, I'm going to give you a holler, and I'm going to take your sports car out for a ride. And I'm going to let you ride in the passenger seat, and we're going to tell the city of California up.
All right, well, but I don't know that you're driving it. But all right, we'll work out the details later on. I mean, you could ride shotgun, and I'll do the driving, and we can put Ryan in the back seat, and we'll figure it all out. Troy will be our tour guide. Actually, he's been in L.A., you know, for most of his life. He can really teach us everything. We'll get the whole secondary back there, Cresden and the rest.
That sounds like a plan.
All right, man, listen, stay healthy through the preseason and go get them. Go get those Bungles. Go get those Ravens and show them who's boss in the AFC North this year, would you?
I appreciate that. Well, thanks for having me on the show, Dave.
All right. I appreciate you being on the show, Ike Taylor. Have a good 2013, man.
You too, boss.
All right, there he goes. The great Ike Taylor. Dave. Interesting. Hell yeah, he says to Antonio Brown on being a true number one wide receiver. Listen, Ike, good fella and all that, but supportive of his teammate. But I don't know exactly that Ike Taylor, that Antonio Brown can carry that load. Yes, one-on-one, there may be some truth to that, but as the number one, he's the guy who's going to get bracketed some. There's no tight end that the safeties have to worry about. I think it's going to be pretty easy to take away the passing options there. But I like this comment that Jarvis Jones is a turnover machine.
Yeah, I mean, Jones is a guy that he could potentially be the guy that turns that defense around from being, you know, the aging defense to being this defense that's on the rise. And I think Antonio Brown can be that guy, and it's a lot of it has to do with can Roethlisberger stay upright, which I'll be interested to see as well.
And you like what he has to say, Wes, about Marcus Wheaton.
I do. Wheaton has been one of the handful of rookies that I've been the most impressed with. I think he has that natural playmaking ability. And I think down the road, he becomes a better receiver than Antonio Brown.
He cuts a big figure out on the field. That's always the thing to me that you never know. And that to me is the most interesting part about preseason. Not in the same way Hanzus swoons at the sight of Tyler Eifert. I'm always struck, though, by you watch these guys in the big conferences and you see how they match up. And what's weird is, oftentimes they look smaller on the field. They look gargantuan against college guys. What the weird effect is when they look even bigger in the NFL. That has something to do with the number that they wear, I think. Like Jadeveon Clowney is going to look bigger in the NFL because his college number is a single digit, and so it throws you.
My fifth grade basketball coach always told me to wear number 11. It makes you look taller.
Being duped by Wheaton then, because he looks like a big guy, bigger than what I remembered him looking like at Oregon State.
I will say this, Shaq, that I just pulled up the combine page, and he had 20 reps in the bench press, so he's physically a strong dude. So
yeah, and Jarvis Jones looks like he's filled out a little bit more. None other than Ryan Clark told me 3 months ago that he felt that Jarvis Jones looked a little slight. Maybe he's been packing on some pounds.
See, you're coming around on the Steelers. I can feel it.
Well, see what happens. I want to be wrong. Believe me.
We're liking this rookie class, though.
Well, so far, yeah. So far, the returns look okay. All right, now listen. And by the way, we recorded all this. To pull back the curtain, today is in fact Friday. It's not Monday when you're or the week that you're listening to this. We had to do it before the majority of the preseason games. So because I'm currently on an airplane to New York City, so we recorded this in advance. I'm just worried that why are they not talking about Peyton Manning being out for the season? You know, that's weird that they haven't mentioned that yet because we don't know what happened in the preseason games. All right, very quickly. Oh, a quick note on Thursday night's preseason game. I'm coming around on those Carolina Panthers alternate uniforms. I felt I had to mention that. I also still think I stand by what I've been saying this preseason. What is it going to be, Mike Vick or Nick Foles? I say both. That's the correct answer. I think Chip Kelly's going to do I think he's going to do some college nonsense, and it's not going to be week to week. I think it's going to be series to series. Oh, I think that
Vick will love that.
I know he will. I think that's what's going to happen. Vick throws a bad ball or maybe two early in the game. It'll be like, yeah, Nick, hey, Nick, why don't you give it a shot there? There's something to that. To throw
not that outlandish.
Where is this coming from? Because Chip Kelly's coming from college, obviously he does things that are a little unorthodox. He likes both of these guys.
Now he's Steve Spurrier?
I could absolutely see it. It may not last very long, but I could see him giving that a shot.
Breer talked about hearing that there was a potential, and this was months ago, that more than one quarterback would be on the field at the same time.
Ah, see?
That I don't see. That's outlandish.
That's just kooky.
But I remember an old Broncos
when Bert Breer
Cowboys.
Says it, it's not so crazy.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that came from some parlor talk or a boozy beer night. I'm not sure where he got that. But
parlor talk.
Hey, listen.
Was he getting a shave?
He tweeted it. I can find it.
Hey, Bob, take it nice and tight on me, would you? You're the bee's knees. I love this barber shop. Give me one of them combs out of that glass thing you got there. What is that blue liquid? It looks delicious.
Well, you're in the parlor.
Yeah. Is that the parlor or was it an ice cream parlor you were talking about?
No, I think you nailed that. Okay. That's what I was picturing at least. Yeah.
All right. What were you saying? I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Oh, Bert Breer had he's in the parlor and he's drinking and you're imagined scenario.
Well, I'm not attributing that to him. He tweeted at some point that he had heard in his channels of information that, you know, that's not outlandish that two quarterbacks would be on the field at the same time.
Well, all right, so
let's move on.
I could absolutely see it going down that way. Last thing, apropos of absolutely nothing, while we were sitting in here in Studio 66 just before we got going, we started talking about doctors. One of the Sessler and Wes both going to turn 40 soon. Yeah, when you get to be 40, you start getting that, you know, Chevy Chase and Fletch and everything else. They do the jokes about, you know, how you know what the doctor does to you, puts on the little white glove and he puts it somewhere. That happens, and it's not pleasant. So get ready for that.
Well, I think this came up because I said I had not been to the doctor since 1997. I'll be darned if that's my next doctor appointment.
What could be riddled? Your body could be riddled.
Yes,
right
but
now.
If they don't tell you and you don't know.
Well, here's the other
you
thing.
Don't know.
Sessler is a single guy. He's got no wife, no kids. He could live that way. Oh, wait, no, you're married to two young children.
Wait, that's me.
Yeah, that's Wes.
What if you could be, if you had to be any kind of, if I told you, I'm just going to like Matrix style upload what you need to know and, you know, in the snap of a fingers, you're going to be an MD. What is the worst specialty to have? My father for many moons was a doctor of cancer, so an oncologist. That would be unpleasant, I think. And yet he did that for 30 years. To me, I think OBGYN. They make the jokes at like the end of Animal House that not Boone. Wait, who was the main guy? Not Belushi's character, but what was not Boone? What was Boone's best friend? You know what I'm talking about?
This is Uncle Talk right
Boone
now.
You don't know Animal House?
Boone from Animal House?
Wait a second.
Yeah. Uncles love Animal House.
No, I love Animal House.
Whoa.
I remember Boone.
Whoa. Hand Zeus. You don't know Animal House?
No. Of course I know
Uncles
it.
Uncles love Blazing Saddles.
Otter. I'm thinking of Otter.
I know it. So. It's just one of those movies
it's a terrific
that
picture.
Your uncle always quotes. And, you know, it's like nobody. It's an old movie. It's
that's Blazing Saddles.
Years old.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm with Wes. That's Blazing Saddles. Exactly what do you find so hilarious? What is it?
I'm not saying that it's that
The Hangover Part 2? Is that your thing? That's your speed?
I believe I'm on record on your podcast that Naked Gun is my favorite and funniest movie of all time.
All right, that's pretty good. All right,
you're off the hook. It's not that far out of the realm of...
How about you, Cecil? Are you going to badmouth Animal House 2?
No, I have no comment on Animal House. I am an airplane fan from way back.
All right, well,
You're, Animal House smokes.
You're not
both.
Off the hook because clearly you don't respect Animal House. And Airplane is your number one of all time?
No, I mean, it's what I came up with right there.
I'm giving you homework, all of you. Have you seen The In-Laws, the original one? That's one that is to me the funniest movie of all time. That's,
really?
Yeah, that'll be
all right.
That's Alan Arkin and Peter Falk. You'll go wild.
I'll watch that.
Is it on Netflix? Do you know?
I'm just assuming it is. Just make sure you don't get the one. I haven't seen it, but I have to assume it's atrocious. Is the Michael Douglas remake? Why would they remake that movie? I don't know. Anyway. OBGYN, Otter, I think is who it is. They joke that he becomes a Beverly Hills OBGYN. I don't think that would have to be the worst of all specialties. Wouldn't that be the worst? People are coming to see you by definition because something's wrong. That's not something I want to be dealing with. Hey, I got something, you know, something not right. Can you take a look? Like, ugh, you know. Keeping in mind that 95-ish percent of the population is not attractive. Right?
No, yeah. You've come up with a good one.
Other thoughts? Hanzus, Wes?
I would just say the only thing is if you're a doctor, but you're not a medical doctor, so you're always having to clarify that.
Yeah,
and you can't actually help people.
Yeah,
so
that would be bad.
And then you're not a real doctor, and you have to deal with that, which hurts because you know they went to school for 10 years, and it's been trying to get that title, and people don't respect you.
I think dermatology would be gross again.
Yes.
Something's wrong. What is that? You know, kind of thing. Can you tell me, doc? Like, ugh, I don't want to look and see, but, you know.
Pimple popper MD.
And I wouldn't want to be that. I wouldn't want to be a psychiatrist because even though that seems like, oh, that'd be fun to listen to people.
I would like that.
I would too.
I think I would, but I've talked to people who do it. I've always thought, oh, that would be neat to hear people's troubles and to hear what's wrong and diagnose that. But I hear it's pretty boring. I mean, imagine. What does anybody have to say? What does anybody have to – what story are they spinning? I think it's on that note we should end the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Let's leave our listeners with that.
Well, also, give some thought to this real quick. I want to figure this out. I just don't want to do it willy-nilly. And you guys contribute because you're no longer available doing your fancy podcast all the time. You can't be in here consistently with us. So give it some thought. What doctor in TV or movie history, if your life was on the line, would you want treating you? I feel like, you know, Heathcliff Huxtable, he's an OBGYN, so he wouldn't save your life. But is it maybe that's the question. Is your life on the line, or if you, in his specialty, do you want to go and see him? Do you feel he's competent? No, I think it's save your life.
Okay.
You got Clooney and ER. I don't remember. He was a kid's doctor, though, right? Wasn't he?
No, he was a regular
doctor.
No, I thought he was a pediatrician.
Well, they were in the ER. They did all sorts of things.
I guess he was an ER.
You're thinking
ER
of
doctor.
Richard Mulligan from Empty Nest.
That's what it is, yes.
But that's who you're thinking of.
Dr. Marcus Welby.
All right. I'm not familiar with that one. That's one the great uncles talk about.
Do you want me to hold mine, or do you want to?
No, I want you to spit now.
Okay. All right. You ready?
Yes.
This is a no-brainer to me. Dr. Henry Walton Jones, Jr., Indiana Jones. And I'm out.
Wow. Pretty
good. Is he a medical doctor?
I don't think
he cares? He's a doctor. He would save my life. He has access to the Holy Grail. Come on.
I might.
That's true. That's powerful.
You know who'd be hard to, you know who I'm going to go with? I'm going to have to think it through. Like I said, I don't want to just jump into an answer here that I can't back out of. But you know who's pretty good? He was an SOB, but damn it, he was a good doctor. Charles Emerson Winchester. MASH. You don't know MASH?
No.
Hawkeye Pierce was a great doctor himself.
Speaking of uncles.
And they operated on
nobody knows. I know Hawkeye Pierce.
None of MASH. I'm really old.
Yeah.
MASH used to come on when I was a kid after Yankee games, and the credits would come on.
Very depressing.
And the music, it just stuck in my head, but I never actually watched
Suicide
the show.
You're kidding.
It would be on WPIX.
That's a great song.
When MASH came on at my house, that was when it was... Your TV night is over. It's 7 o'clock. It's time to produce.
Further
things.
Evidence. I already learned that. I've known it now for too long, and I really didn't want to embrace the fact, but I want to be real with Dave Damashek. I want to be real with the man in the mirror about this. I called somebody unironically today. I said something about like, hey, listen, that kid's working hard, and he's a grown man. He's over 21, and I referred to him as that kid, and then I realized this reminds me of.
By all rules, you must now become a professional sports scout if you're calling somebody kid.
I know. One way or the other, I'm old. I'm an old man, and I'm going to have to go and see one of those TV doctors soon.
I'm going to go Dr. Quinn, medicine woman.
Oh, that's interesting.
I thought of her.
Different choice.
Was that CBS show on Saturday nights in like 92?
Do you know
Jane Seymour?
Jane Seymour. Right. What's interesting? She's married to
like Richard Burton or something.
No, she's married to Stacy Keach's brother, James Keach, who's more of a producer than he is an actor. But he had his acting. He had a little acting run too. But Stacy Keach's slightly less famous brother, James Keach. They're married. He and Seymour. They were best of friends in the last many moons on this earth of Johnny Cash and June Carter.
Hmm.
Wow. What a weird quartet that
Very
is.
Very strange.
My pal David Feeney worked with Jane Seymour on something, and she would spin these fantastic yarns about the four of them going out and having a few. And that and the reason they met one another is because Johnny and June loved Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Wow. Really?
Which makes me think a little bit less of the Man in Black.
It's possible.
Tangibly related to that, on the way to work today on the radio, Hurt, the cover of the Nine Inch Nails song that Johnny Cash came on. Yeah. That is one of the greatest recordings of the last decade.
Absolutely.
That's the American 3 album?
Yeah.
That's a great album.
Oh, my God. It's gorgeous.
That's another great.
Heartbreaking.
Maybe that's a list for another day is greatest cover. Is that when the cover...
I've done a lot of work on this one.
When the cover trumps the original.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I wrote an article about that one.
Did you really? Yeah. That's a pretty good one. Me and Bobby McGee stands out to me probably in that regard.
Well, Jimi Hendrix, All Along the Watchtower.
Yep, that's definitely
that's a good
better.
One.
Hallelujah
Respect.
By Jeff Buckley is a great one.
Yeah. Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
All right, well, guys, this is, again, we're doing we're doing too much.
My doctor, let's see.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, he must be treated as well.
There's some show, I've never seen it, because as you know, I don't have television.
Oh, boy.
Janine Turner plays a doctor on one of these shows. The old Maggie.
Oh, that was a great show.
Maggie from Northern Exposure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she becomes a doctor on one of these shows, and I had such a big crush.
Wasn't she a doctor on Northern Exposure?
No, she was a bush pilot.
That's right. She was a pilot. What a
she
great
played
show
like
that was.
The Emil. Oh, that's my favorite show
she had
of all time.
That beauty really mark funny. That always bothered me. It was just like
what?
She's now a right wing cuckoo though. Oh, I mean, she's really far out.
And she wears mom jeans.
Perfect for West. Yeah.
All right, listen. We've said it all. Maybe too much. And I appreciate the Around the League fellas coming in here for old time's sake. Dan Hanzus, Mr. Fancy Pants, Mark Sessler. Chris Wessling, the new fella, the country bumpkin, all here. They kibitz three times a week with Greg Rosenthal on the Around the League podcast. Make sure you subscribe to that one on iTunes. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce. I don't know, later this week, if not at the start of next week. Either way, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.